the jump when I was 18 and knowing of M and all of that, and then to be able to like work with those people,
yeah,
and be in that city,
yeah, and in that energy
environment, yes, like, I'm like I was pinching myself the whole time. It's just wild.
All right, hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have Detroit's own Ryan Scott from Basement Sounds 2.0 record label. Welcome to the studio, Ryan.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, I just happened to see you on Channel 4 recently.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How was that?
Local 4 was definitely an experience. What was cool about it was my first time really performing live on TV. It just was not what I thought internally, because you get there and you get to the set and, you know, you're able to go through a few sound checks and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they put you back in this green room, and like, it's like 20 minutes of hell because you're just sitting back there and
you're waiting
to go on. And you're just, no one's really talking. You're just all sitting there. And we had our drummer Sean in there and Jake Bass.
Yes.
And which he's done it a million times, so he's like, he wasn't nervous. But we were supposed to go. We had about 20 minutes, and then they were like, yeah, make a coffee, do whatever you want to do. So I went up and I'm like making my coffee. I got the Keurig going and everything. I was on.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like I didn't even get my coffee. And then like we had to scoot out.
Yeah.
And then they walk you through this hallway. And Tati Amar, who's, I hope I said that right, but she's a reporter on Local 4.
Yeah.
She's standing right there like on set, the light on her. The cameras are all on her. She's waiting for me. So like when I walk up, we're live. And it was like just this from here to there type of a moment
that in an
was
instant.
Like wild.
Yeah.
And then she's asking me questions, and then after that like she just left. So it was like, it was weird because I never really like met her, like talked to her before.
Yeah.
So I usually, when we have conversations, like it's like I kind of know the person, if that makes sense, like
yes,
you have a little bit of a background. But no, she asked me questions, she was gone, and then the cameras came on me and we had to just go.
So just had to start like, performing right then and there. Wow. So what is it like when you're getting set up for that? Is it like, do they have everything set up for you, or you're bringing all your own stuff and you're setting it up and then waiting?
Yeah, Sean brought the drums.
Okay.
Jake brought the guitar.
Got it.
And then we basically just set all of those things up. The producer from Local 4 helps.
Cool.
So they have like they have people that do the sound and all that stuff.
So you don't have to worry about all that.
No,
tech.
Which I always feel weird because, and since we've done like CBS News and all that, which that was another story, but, I just write my music and I just got a microphone.
Right.
So it's like Jake's setting all this stuff up. Sean's setting this big ass guitar up, or a drum set. And I'm just like standing here. I'm like, I don't want to touch anything because I don't want to break anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like everyone's going to work and I'm just kind of sitting there. But
now Jake, that you've referenced a couple times, he was just on the podcast. He was here in the studio. Jake Bass.
That's
your producer.
Yeah.
And your record label is Basement Sounds 2.0.
Correct.
And that's Jake's record label.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And when you mentioned Sean, I was thinking Sean Forbes. I wasn't sure. Cause you
Sean
know,
Sean Forbes. Oh, shout
yes.
out to Sean Forbes.
Yes.
Man.
I love Sean Forbes.
Yeah.
I saw Sean live at the Deaf and Loud show, and Jake was on that show also. So we talked about that, the podcast. I went to Deaf and Loud in 2018.
Did you really?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Sean's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you mentioned Sean.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
When you mentioned Sean, I was thinking that too, but right off the top of my head, but that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get, you got a squad kind of with you, helping you set things up and prep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God.
I got to give it to you. That is like, that's got to be kind of a nerve-wracking experience to go perform, you know, like, well, I mean, you're pretty seasoned. You've been doing this for over 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty locked in with it, but at the same time, like when the lights are on, it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got one shot to land it. And I think there also is the element of, because I do the rap, I do the hip hop, the little country pop stuff, R&B, that it's, you know, you usually get more like singers and things like that on the news. So it's like to get a rap artist on there, you got everyone kind of looking like, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
Is this going to be shit or is this going to be good?
Yeah.
Like, you just never know. So there was a little bit of that, that's, you know, you got to overcome, but, I mean, it was a great experience. The set was so cool. I mean, you got just as cool of a set in here. Which,
oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Jake's got that great studio, FBT. Amazing. It's beautiful. And yeah, he was out here complimenting me, and I'm just like, I was blown back because it's such an amazing setup over there. And you guys have had so many amazing artists come through there. And we touched on like his collaborations with Marshall and D12, mm-hmm. and Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, their family, Marky and Jeff, and Jeff is Jake's dad.
Yeah.
But just to take you back, like in 2000, Jake's gonna get mad if I probably get these dates wrong, but 2000, I always do. I'll be on stage with him and be like, I've been working with this guy since 2019. Right. He's like, bro, it's like, it was like, we've been working together for like 6 years.
Yes.
Like that. But yeah, so I was working at CBS Radio at the time. This was like 2017.
Oh, wow.
Selling like radio space, you know, like, and I met a fellow colleague at the CBS Radio, Kate, and she was good friends with Jake. And she found out that I did music, and she's done some stuff with G-Eazy.
Okay.
Like when he was coming up. And so shout out to Kate. But so we worked together, and she asked for my demo to get it to Jake. So I gave her a demo, she got it to Jake, and Jake emailed me. So I really, like, I wasn't fully briefed on his background and, like, everything.
Right.
And how big it is until, like, I got to the studio. So he invited me to 54 Sound, which was, like, one of the original studios that M, you know, did his stuff in.
Yeah.
I think it was a Slim Shady LP. And so I went in there, and he kind of just took me around. He gave me all this history, and then told me about his dad, Jeff, and like.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get Jeff on the podcast because it would be an honor. Like, yeah. Wow, the Bass Brothers,
man, unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah. So I've heard all the stories, you know, and like just as a kid, Lose Yourself was to me one of those like songs that it still probably is. It may sound cliche as a white rapper, but one of my favorite songs ever.
Well, I can attest, it's still on my workout playlist.
Yeah,
yeah. I got it on my workout playlist. I still listen to it, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a classic.
Yeah, and then the correlation with that, the movie, 8 Mile and all that. So, like, that was deep within me for so long.
Yeah.
That to be able to make music in the first place, and from the jump when I was 18 – and knowing of M and all of that, and then to be able to like work with those people,
yeah,
and be in that city,
yeah, and in that energy
environment,
yes,
like, I'm like, I was pinching myself the whole time. It's just wild,
yeah.
But yeah, you got to get Jeff on here.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. He's quite a talent, and I mean, all you guys are so talented. That's just got to be the energy in the studio when you guys get together. Just must be palpable.
It's it's unbelievable.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, we were just so I came out with that Just Human, so brand new song that we had actually wrote in 2018, and then we ended up, you know, then we got Local 4, CBS News,
yeah.
and we're going to get Fox 2 coming up here too.
Yeah.
And they really liked the song, so we just reinvented it. And originally it was just me and Jake that wrote it. And I had asked to get Jeff on it, like to put the exclamation point on
it.
Like, let's really do it. And
yeah.
He was all about it.
Wow.
And so like we had a session, 2 weeks ago? And I mean, I walked in, and he was already like strumming, like he was getting down, getting the levels right, and everything. And I kid you not, like he must have done 30 takes of the same riff, like killing it.
Wow!
And I'm just sitting there, like after every one, I'm like, "That's it,
yeah,
nailed it." And he's like, "It's like do it again, like run it back, run it back." And then afterwards, I basically said, "I was like, was like, is that why you want a, you know, Grammy and an Oscar? And yeah. he was like, yeah, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, damn.
Yeah, that attention to detail, you know. It was just like when we were talking off camera before we got rolling here, like talking about writing songs for other people. You're in that headspace where you're writing from your soul right now to get your words out from you.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, that's him. Like, that's his, that's passion. That's his
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's, yeah, it's pretty amazing. He can... like the way he feels it, and you, when you can actually like see the process, because you just like you can hear the song,
right?
But then when you see all the individual elements that he does on that guitar,
yeah,
and like he was hitting. I don't even, you know, like I'm an artist, but I don't know the right terminology for like, but when he strummed it, I guess he like it's I think it was like a lick where it's like doom, and it was like a nostalgic country little sound,
yeah.
But he would time it. So like every 5 seconds he'd hit it before the beat actually hit the point it was supposed to be at.
Yeah.
So he like heard it before it was even there. And that's like magic to me.
Yeah. He's like intuitive.
Yeah. Like yeah. You, it's, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. That's amazing. So what took you down the road? Like, were you always musically inclined as a young kid? Like just always involved in the music scene and, singing and performing?
Yeah. I mean, when I was about 18, I would say, like, okay, so I've always loved music, yeah. right? And I mean, like, all types of music. So I was real super close to my grandparents. Like, my nana and pop were like my second parents.
Yeah.
They grew up in Lakeview. So, like, I lived a lot of my life out in the country. So, like, country music was always playing.
Yeah.
So that was ingrained in me. And then, like, growing up in Grand Rapids and, like, near the city, rap and hip-hop was always ingrained in me. Bob Seger, my dad was favorite artist, so like classic rock. So I had all of these things that like moved me so deeply. And then I remember like I got one of those little pencil microphones from Best Buy.
Yeah.
Like we had a Gateway computer.
Yeah.
And I finally figured out how Magic's Music Maker or whatever was the CD I had to put in to like upload the program to hear myself.
Yeah.
And I remember like the first time I just downloaded a beat, put it on there, and like I tried something, and it was like I hearing yourself over a beat was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then that just grew into literally like listen to my favorite artists like Eminem. I mean, like hearing the Eminem show the first time was like mind blowing.
Right.
John Connor, like huge influence of mine from Flint. You know, he signed to Aftermath, and now he's doing his own thing. So, like, hearing those guys do it and the way they made me feel was like, holy shit, like, I want to do that for somebody.
Yeah.
Like, what if I can? And years of just not giving up and just getting better and better. When I started, it was bad. Like, it was – I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
But you – I think you have to have – to do anything great, like, you have to be kind of a – have a delusion in a little bit.
Yeah, like, you got to be a little bit crazy. Yeah, get like, it? Yeah, you're living a dream. You don't know, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you're walking yourself towards your vision. And, I mean, if you thought you were shitty, you wouldn't have kept going.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You can't come into it with that mindset, but like kind of reflecting, you can tell you grew.
Yeah.
You're probably not as bad as you think you were, but I mean, like, you know, you had the talent.
Yeah.
You have natural talent. Yeah. Yeah.
And I had a really good environment of people around me, too. Like, you know, I did the sports stuff in high school, a little bit in college. So I was around a lot of dreamers, a lot of like people with work ethic who wanted to push for big things in life. So like they always talked me up instead of down when it came to music.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, because when someone like you with like natural talent and then the dream, like you get around people like... you know, you are the amalgamation of the people you surround yourself with. And a lot of people want to take you down because they, you know, they don't want to see you go up without them. I was just going to ask, like, did you have a supportive network? And sounds like you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very much. Which
and
was
you still,
cool.
You still do.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just all growing up now.
Yeah.
Most of them got kids now. But so my first show was in upstairs at the Pike Room in Pontiac.
Okay.
Right? And it was in the middle of a snowstorm. And it was the only place that I could book that would book me at the time.
Yeah.
And what's funny about it is they booked me because they thought that I was like this alternative rock Ryan Scott. They thought I was a completely different artist.
Oh.
And so I went there, and I remember they gave me, like, my tickets and everything, and they were like, you don't look like...
Oh, no, dude. And,
but they're like, but we'll still give you the show.
Cool.
So that was, like, my way of, like, God saying, like, hey, you're on the right path. Yeah. Like, keep going. And so I ended up getting a show that I shouldn't have even gotten. But anyways, drove 2.5 hours out there in the middle of a snowstorm, and everybody from Grand Rapids came.
Wow.
Like, all my family and friends. We had, like, over 100 people there.
Wow.
That drove 2.5 hours on a Sunday night.
Wow.
When everyone had to work in the morning and stuff. Like, to me, that was... I don't know too many people.
Well, I just got the chills. That's amazing. That's a great supportive network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very grateful and thankful. And they're all with me today. Like, they're all still cheering me on, and I cheer them on. Like, I love that.
Well, you were supposed to be there. You were supposed to be at that show, so that it all lined up, like the universe was working in your favor. And that's a cool story. What is so, because you spell your name R-Y-N.
Yeah.
Like, does that guy spell his name R-Y-A-N? And that was
I was Ryan Scott.
So we
recently just changed it.
Okay, got it. Did that help prompt it?
Yes.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
That was one of the things. But the main reason why I had to change it was because there's, like, a famous porn star
known as
Ryan Scott.
No way.
That, like, kind of looks a little like me. So when you Google Ryan Scott, I would tell people to go check my music out. Like, he would be one of the first things that would pop up.
Oh, no way, yeah.
So I was, like, thinking of ways that I could... And then I think my sister's, you know, she's like basically my manager. Like, she's like, we're best friends. She rides around me everywhere. But she was like, well, if you take the A out, the Rye in still works.
It works.
And then the Google search will still be.
Yeah. I mean, it pops right up.
Yeah.
You're the first thing that pops right up. It says music artist.
Well, it worked.
R-Y-N Scott. Yeah. Yeah. That's clever. She came up with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it sounds right.
Yeah. You know? She did the logo and everything. She's really good with, like, she does all her custom designs.
The graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, is she a tie-in at the studio? Do you guys collaborate? Does Jake collaborate with her at all?
She's actually done, like, some, she does t-shirts, sweatshirts, and all that stuff, like, all apparel.
Cool.
She's got her own, it's called Just Saying, and it's all custom woodwork and,
I'm gonna have to get this information because I'm into that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She can,
like,
do
some cool stuff for my studio.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm not just playing because I'm her brother, where it's like, I'm not blowing smoke. Like,
right.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's done all my logos. She's done
all the merch.
All the merch.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been there from day one, like, calling venues when I was 22 and, like, begging them to put me on.
Yeah.
Like, she's basically I still consider her my manager.
She comes to all your shows. Like,
every big thing.
Yeah.
Like, she had to work today or else she'd be sitting probably right there. But, so
I know you got a show coming up too in April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diesel Concert Venue.
Cool. That's going to be a good one, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And shout out to Dirty White. Rick's really good friend of mine, incredible artist. More like hip hop, but, like, his words are so intentional. And, like, if you've never seen him perform, you got to see him perform.
Is he going to be with you at the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's headlining it.
Okay.
And then, but this started. We've been doing this show. I met Rick, 5-6 years ago, and we've been doing the show, and he always invites me on shows with him. He, like, opened up for Sugar Hill Gang. I got to go on stage and open up for them with him. So he's allowed me a lot of really cool opportunities.
Cool. You get to meet a lot of cool people in the music industry, I'm sure. You seem like a very humble and grateful person. So you got a good head on your shoulders as far as all that stuff goes. I mean, it's got to be hard. I'm sure you've faced some adversity too, just starting up. And I mean, as good and positive as your network is, I'm sure you've faced some people working against you too.
Yeah.
You know, how do you kind of navigate through that when you're dealing with, you know, people kind of rooting against you, not for you? Where does your mindset go? What do you do? Like, just kind of,
you know, we're all learning, but I think in the past I was more of, like, I just wanted everybody to like me in a way.
Of course.
Cause that's just, like, I just move out of love. Like, that's my main thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't have many vendettas, or I don't have any hate towards anybody. So like, that's not in me.
Yeah.
So it's always been hard to understand when it comes from somebody else and I've done nothing wrong to you.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't want somebody to succeed. Yeah. I've never got that.
I'm right with you.
Like, I just to see you fail, if that gives you ammo or if that makes you feel better, like there's something deep twisted inside that you got to figure out.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think I battled that with more compassion. And yeah. I don't say that in like a cock, like I'm not saying this in any arrogant, cocky way. Like,
yeah,
it just is what it is. Yeah. Like, I think when you don't want to see somebody succeed, there's something that is broken.
I agree.
And I have that compassion for that. So I have a way of compartmentalizing that. Like, I don't see the hate as you hate me. I just think it's like there's something deeper going on in your life that brings you to that point.
Agreed.
So
I this topic comes up all the time, and I was just thinking about it earlier this morning, like before we even got together. And there's just no space for that. Like, I don't have that kind of like space in my heart for the hate and all that. And you know, there's just no good reason, you know, not to root you on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Why not?
Why not root me on, you know? So yeah. I get it. That's awesome. You got a great mindset as far as that stuff goes. You know, we talked a little bit off camera too about just like wellness practices and things like that, because, you know, like your voice is your instrument, and like, you know, you got to get up on stage, and you got to be pretty nimble and stuff like that, because you got to have that stage presence and move around and different things like that. Have you ever had any kind of like formal training in that respect? Like, I mean, outside of fitness wise, do you like work with anybody to kind of help gear your body when you're like up on a live show?
Yeah. So, I kind of go by, I throw myself in the fire, man.
Yeah. Like, let the music move you.
Yeah. Like, and then in a way for me, I just, I got something out of literally throwing myself in the fire and seeing what happens.
Right.
And like scaring the out of myself doing it.
Yeah.
But it has made me grow so much, and I couldn't like even be sitting here with you talking right now if I didn't do that.
Right.
Like, I have learned so much from either failing or like just, I mean, I've gone from shows where there's like 8 people there, no one showed up, and you gotta keep that energy going.
Yeah.
And then I've done shows where, like, I've done the House of Blues open up for Joyner Lucas, where it's, sold out. And, like, you walk out there, and it's, like, you have this feeling, like, is this really me?
Yeah.
Like, then that 18-year-old you who was, like, so just newborn type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's, like, now you're here. Like, can you handle it? And you got that voice in the back of your head. And it's in a weird way, though, man. It's, like, every time I've ever doubted myself, like, I've ended up doing it.
That's awesome.
And so, like, you stop doubting yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, you, all those demons and stuff, like, you're laying in bed the night before a show or even up to a show, and you're like, you're going to up. Like,
I get
you're
going
to forget your words.
Yes.
Like, they aren't going to like you. Yeah. All this stuff going through your head, and then all of a sudden, it's like, every time, man,
it all just comes together.
It all works.
Yeah.
So you
have a good sense of faith and spirituality too. Like, has that always been a part of your life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, I have my ups and downs with like particulars of it, but you know, God is and to each their own. Like, I always feel like whether you believe in God, the universe, whatever deeper being, who's ever in control.
Yeah.
Whatever you go to, whatever your source is, I think is like really big in life. Which is why you asked about like habits or rituals or things that I do. Like, one of the main things that I do every single morning is I go through my grateful list.
Yeah.
Like, I'll sit in the shower and I will list every single thing, like my legs to walk, my eyes to see, my ears to hear.
Dude, I do that.
No way.
I'm not kidding you. I do. I literally do that. I've been working with people with disabilities since I was a teenager, and I've had the pleasure of working with just a multitude of people, and it's helped shape my gratitude for those things.
Yeah.
My eyeballs, my hands, my feet, my legs, the ability to walk.
That's amazing.
Dude. Yeah. Truly. I do that every morning, and I think that's great that you do it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think like that. And we have a lot to be
grateful
for. And the
fact you work with people, and I mean, that to me is like a selfless pursuit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you have your calling. You know what I mean? That was mine, and I you know, always doing some kind of deep work, trying to figure out, you know, why I do what I do and all that stuff. I know, like, I've always been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and like you do too. Like, you knew what your thing was going to be ultimately, and yeah, you're doing it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It reaches people on another level, and that's got to feel good, you know, like you're sharing. I'm always fascinated by artists, because especially musicians, because they're sharing their soul. Like, that stuff comes from within you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And do you write all of your own music, or do you collaborate with?
I write every single word.
All of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, which it's a gift and a curse in a way, because, I don't know. I never, when I started music, one of the promises I made myself was, just to always keep it real, to always speak the truth.
Yeah.
And nothing else. Like, I'm not going to tell you about a life I'm not living. I'm not going to endorse something that I'm not really endorsing myself, because to me that's fake, and it just doesn't, like, I can't do it.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's very also draining, because, you know, I'm 34 and I feel like I've given a lot of, like, my personal life out there. Like, I've poured a lot of my soul out into the abyss of, like, whether it's accepted or not, it's still out there. And there, I really think there's, like, an energy force of, like, Royce da 5'9". I don't know if you know him, but he talked about, after he did, like, the Book of Ryan, which is an incredible album, it was one of his most, like, intentional personal albums that he wrote about his family, his brother, and all that stuff. And he said at the end, like, he literally was sick, because it took everything out of him.
Yeah, I get that.
So, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, and like with anything, I mean, when you pour your soul out, it is.
I think that, like, you're an empathetic person, I can tell, and it does. Like, when you to speak on what you just mentioned, you feel depleted. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you pour it out there like that, you're depleted and you got to rest and recharge. And, like, what are some of the things that you do to, like, kind of regroup and recharge, like, putting so much of yourself out there, of your personal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your personal thoughts and words.
Yeah. I mean,
talked a little off camera about sauna and different things like that.
Yeah. So, I've gotten into the sauna.
Yeah.
So I try to do that once or twice a week, which really, I'll take a book in there. And right now I'm reading Higher by Big Sean.
Cool.
So that's a really good book. I always find, like, something to take in there and read and just sweat it out.
Yep.
Like, just, you know how it is.
Like, I call it, like, sweating out the crazy.
Yeah.
Is what I call it. And changing my oil.
Exactly.
It's like changing the oil in your car, but, and sweating out the crazy. It's like you can, think, breathe, relax.
Yeah. You, like, step out and it's like rebirth.
Yes.
You feel like it's a brand new day. And yeah, so I'll do that. I'm big on running. I'll pop the headphones in. I run a 5K about 5 days a week.
Wow. Okay, yeah, I'm not a runner. So, yeah. Like, I tried taking that up probably when I was your age. I started taking that up. I think I was telling you a little bit about my fitness journey. I figured out that running wasn't for me. So I was like, yeah, the only time I run is from the police, but or into the loving arms of a pizza. But I do walk. So, like, I love walking. Like, I would go to Kensington and Milford and I'd walk the 8 mile loop.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I'd get an audio book and you're kind of, like, forced into it. You know, I'd want to give up. Like, I'd always want to turn around 4 miles in, but it's an 8 mile loop. So you're walking that 8 miles whether you like it or not. So it was always like, just keep going.
Yeah.
You've, like, finished off a book in that amount of time, it's always great. Yeah pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, being out in nature.
Yes.
I mean, like you said, and if you got an audiobook,
yep,
I mean, you're good.
Yeah that's awesome that you actually read, like, a physical book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm very, like, old school.
Yeah, so am I.
Nostalgic, man. Like, yeah, those little things matter to me a lot.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's got to, like, also provide a great source of inspiration, too. Like, kind of when you're recharging like that from the sauna and regroup. That's awesome. So running, sauna, and...
I mean, I'm big into sports. So, like, love watching basketball.
Yeah.
You know, football, all that stuff. I mean, I play a lot of pool.
And you played sports coming up, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been in me. I mean, I've always been... like my dad, my mom, everybody. My sister went to Michigan State, so big time like Michigan State basketball cool. fans, like go to games and all that stuff and football. Not so much the NBA, but the Pistons are doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Big time Lions fan. So like those, I don't know, all American like sport yeah. Saturdays, and like that they keep me going. And I play a lot of pool, so I find, and golf.
Cool. You
know, so just staying active.
Yeah. Like, well, keeping your mind sharp. Pool is great for that, and golf too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very calming. More of a low key sport. I like to train like martial arts and different things like that, and kind of keep my own pace. Like do things
really?
My own way.
Martial arts.
Yeah. Just jiu-jitsu. I got into that in 2020, and then kind of trained myself. Like I would work with this Russian guy off Instagram on nunchucks, and so like I bought a few pairs of nunchucks, and that's a great like body workout. Nothing that's gonna like.
Did you ever crack yourself?
Oh my god, yeah. No. So I had to buy like the training nunchucks. Like that hurts.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man.
Oh my god, I've cracked myself in the head, the nuts. Like yeah, yeah. It's not fun, but like, but you can get a great workout out of that. And then I've got a guy that does custom martial arts toys. So like I'll train with the bow staff. Okay. So like with the music, like how you said, when you get up on stage and you're getting ready to do like a live show, it's your music, it's moving your body, and like that's your personal experience.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with bow staff. I just turn on some music, turn it up really loud, and then train with the bow staff, and you know,
just in your flow.
Yeah. Just go like that, and it's always a great workout and a great like way to clear my mind.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Absolutely.
I know you're in Detroit, so do you see yourself like being a Detroit staple for?
I love. I don't even want to say like Detroit. I would say Michigan.
Yeah,
I love Michigan, man. I don't ever really see me wanting to leave. I know a lot of artists like relocate to LA or they you know, they gotta go places, but I'm such a Midwest like kid from the jump. Like that's, it's in me.
That's awesome.
Like I love the change of seasons, all that stuff.
I think a lot of people are moving from LA to Michigan.
Yeah.
Now. It's interesting.
Now it's like flipping.
Yeah, it is flipping.
So yeah, we got something going
we
on.
Do. Like, and you're a big part of the Detroit music scene, just on the come up, and it's awesome. There's so many great things happening in Detroit right now.
Yeah.
And you getting the opportunity to work with Jake, I mean, that's gotta be great. You have some great mentors in the mix here.
Yeah. The crazy part is, I mean, there's so many deserving artists here locally.
Yeah.
Like I could just list them all off, and just really good people, and they have meaning in everything they're doing. So I think like Michigan's kind of, Detroit especially, is a big mecca for,
oh, yeah,
for music.
Like, yeah. It's really cool to watch guys like you just getting in and doing their thing and like bringing back the sounds of Detroit. It's
yeah.
like, it's been here. It's not going anywhere.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But we got to keep it going. And
yeah.
the right guys are in the mix over there at Basement Sounds 2.0. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So when someone wants to book you, how do they go about doing that?
I mean, just honestly, like hit me up on Instagram. Like
got
Ryan
it.
Scott Music.
Yeah.
At Ryan Scott Music.
It's awesome.
Or just email me. You know, I got all my stuff on there.
Cool.
So,
and
yeah.
Other artists reach out to you, like for your show in April. Like, how do you get into those types of gigs? Like, it's just those are the people you're organically connected to, and
yeah.
they're like, join me on the show.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot
that's
of
awesome.
Everything really that's happened with music for me has been just word of mouth through somebody I knew.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more people you network with and the more chance you're going to get on a show.
You have a really great perspective, I got to say, because usually when you get talking to somebody that's in any area of the entertainment industry, there's a lot of negative that they'll bring up, and I don't get any of that from you at all. You're just grateful to be a part of it and doing your thing, and that's really refreshing. I think that's great. There's a lot of people that hold, you know, a lot of resentment, or why that guy and not me?
Yeah.
Like, why did Ryan get that show but not me? But, like, you don't have that. Like, I dig that. That's
I
cool.
I think it just comes from, like, I just feel like I'm where I'm meant to be always.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've had that agreement with God that there were, trust me, many times, like, coming up.
Yeah.
When it was like, damn, like, how did I not get, how did I not get nominated? Like, what, how did he get, like, you do have those feelings.
Yeah.
But through growing and like just becoming more in tune with myself, yeah. I've learned that trust the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I wasn't supposed to have it at that time.
Right.
And then maybe, like, there was a lot I had to learn, and then all of a sudden, now you get it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the universe working. And
yeah.
It, and it's always working for you, never against.
Exactly.
I believe that to the core, so it's like,
I believe whatever. It too. Yeah, it's true. It's when you reflect, like when you look back at, what was it you said you'd started working with
Jake
back in 2019, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 2017.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch your growth from then to now,
yeah.
And kind of like how your mindset shifts, and then like watching how everything was laid out the way it was supposed to be. Like, if you look back and reflect and think you wish something would have worked out, it wouldn't have you where you yeah. are right now. You know what I'm saying?
Literally.
Like, it's, I get that. I always have those moments where I'm just like, God, I'm really, truly glad it did work out that way, even though back then I wasn't
yeah.
understanding the process.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
What's that? God always gives you
what you can handle,
not what you want.
Yeah. Is yes. That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it right there.
Yeah,
right?
That's a great mindset to have. So you have, now, I mean, 2025 is looking up for you guys over there at the studio. What, I know you got the show coming up in April, and that's over in New Baltimore.
Yep.
Yep. What's the venue again?
Diesel Concert Venue.
Diesel Concert Venue.
Which yeah. is really, have you ever been there?
No.
Dude, so like 5 years ago when I don't even know how long it was, but when Rick asked me to go on, I like drove up there, and you go into, it's like a bowling alley.
Okay.
So I walk in, and I was already running a little late. So I walk in and people are just bowling, and I'm like, this isn't right. This
right.
can't, like, there's not even a stage. Like, so I remember like hitting up Rick. And I'm like, dude, I'm at a bowling alley. I think you gave me the wrong address. He was like, no, you got to go, like, keep going all the way to the back. So you literally go through a whole bowling alley. Then there's this, like, door to the left. And then there's this bouncer standing there. And he gets your stuff. And then you go through. And then all of a sudden, there's, like, this huge venue to the left. And then, like, a theater in the back right. Big venue.
Yeah.
And it's like, you would never think it's a venue.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
It's like, really ooh, weird. Yeah. Like, it's trippy.
Right.
But there is music in the back of the Diesel Concert Venue.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Those are the best shows, though. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because I can picture myself. We had a really good conversation off camera before we got rolling about back in the day.
Oh.
And I was at all the... maybe
you might
I
have not
been
made
there.
The show,
you know
man.
What I
don't
mean?
Know.
Like, maybe I have been yeah. there, now that I think about it. But, like, no, those are yeah. always the best shows.
Yeah, man.
Yes. I haven't been out to too many concerts these days. I hope maybe I can make it out to that show.
Have you ever been to the Love and Touch?
Yes, yeah.
Isn't that venue? That's venue's dope.
Yeah, that
really
is
cool.
Great. It is a great venue. I had a guest on the show, T Money Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, T Money Green was on the show, and I have a connection to him through mutual friends. And I went. He does shows out there all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah. I know I've been out there for one thing or another. I keep really weird hours. So, like, I start my day at 2 a.m. and I go to bed at like 6:30, 7 p.m.
No.
And so, if someone gets me out to an event, I have no idea what's going on, because it's like, obviously, like, an event like that would start at like 7 p.m.,
yeah.
which is like my bedtime. So, I'm like, I get out to those
Hold
events.
Up.
I know.
You start your day at 2 a.m.
2, yes. That's when I'm working out. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was just kind of like, that's what works for me kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, per our conversation off cam, like, I used to have, the party in me, and I used to go out and carry on and whatnot. And as I started up my business and making those life changes for myself and kind of just reassessing my priorities,
yeah.
that worked best for me was to go to
that's
bed.
That's incredible. So you basically flipped the script on it.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely. That's funny that you said that. My brother, I was telling you, my brother passed away when he was 28. It was probably about 20 years ago now. He used to say that all the time, flip the script.
Nice.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah. But no, that worked best for me. It was like, just kind of reassess and get a good night's sleep, wake up 1:30, 2 a.m. and get out to the gym, and I do my practice, my morning gratitude, all the things that you're grateful, that we're
yeah.
grateful for. do all that and kind of get my day going. And that's kind of what works for me. You know, I still got it in me. I can go out and hang out and all that stuff when need be. Like T-Money and those guys got me out to the Loving Touch and whatnot. I can make it out. Right. But like I said, when I'm at the venues, like everything kind of blurs together. And it's like, have I been there? Have I not been there? Was it after 7 p.m.?
Kind of. Yeah, deal. You're in a new chapter now.
Yes, yeah. So that's cool. Like that works for me. But yeah, so outside of that show, summer's looking pretty good. You guys getting booked up? And
yeah, I mean, hopefully, shout out to Jamie. Hopefully she books me for some Arts Beats and Eats and Taco Fest and, and all that stuff. So I, for about two or three years, I did the whole segment. So Arts Beats and Eats, the Taco Fest, and then the October Fest or something like that. And then they got like the Winter Blast. So these are all the big Michigan festivals.
Okay.
But you apply through Jamie.
Yeah.
And so some years you make it, some years you don't. So hopefully I've done enough this year.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just about timing. Like you got to get timing, in. Yeah. You got to get in there like when the time is right. And then they go through their selection process.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah. And it's always, it's a bit more difficult for like a solo artist because, you know, festivals are, they want bands.
They like
you know,
bands,
and,
yeah.
They need more of the drums. They need the guitar. But I do have, I'm going to try and get Sean. I haven't even asked him yet, but I'm going to try and get Sean to do drums for me and then hopefully Jake on guitar.
Cool.
Because when you combine those elements, like we figured that out on Local 4. Like when I do what I do to a live set, it's a whole different feel, man.
Yeah.
Like the drums and everything, it just hits different.
That's awesome.
So.
And you trust those guys to kind of get your music out there like it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool that Jake jumps in there like that with you.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't shock me at all because like I remember when I met, like just meeting Jake for the first time, that's like an instant friend connection. Like that almost never, you know what I mean? That's rare when that happens when you meet someone and like they already feel like your friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, he's very easy to get along with.
Yeah. Yeah. Same to you, by the way. I extend that to you man. Also. Yeah.
Just right back at you.
Thank you. Yeah. Just that's a great guy and that's a great studio you're a part of. And yeah, what a blessing to make that connection. So cool.
Yeah. He's one of those guys too that can like he can jump on any song with a guitar and feel it. And you wouldn't even know that like that was the first time he's playing it.
Yeah.
Like he just has that natural ability
that's awesome.
You know.
All right. Well, hey, what? Where can everybody find you? Like, I know we said your Instagram.
Yeah.
But let's say it again.
Yeah. So it's Ryan Scott Music, R-Y-N Scott Music, and that's Instagram and Facebook. And then RyanScott.com, which I hopefully we aren't having too many problems with.
Probably a glitch here. Yeah.
Check it out.
Yes.
And yeah, hit me up.
You have a YouTube channel also?
Yeah, Ryan Scott Music. So everything's under one umbrella.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And just Google your name, R-Y-N. Yeah,
without the A.
Yeah.
Get rid of the A.
No porn stars.
Yeah.
Yes.
I ain't doing that. I ain't going there.
All right, guys. That's a wrap.